Great. Good evening, this is Richard Mortimer from Niche Domination Live Training, and I'm very pleased to have on the second part of the call tonight Trevor Dumbleton. I know Trevor personally. The reason I've invited him to be here tonight is because he's done quite a lot on product creation. He's launched a whole ton of WSOs. I've lost count of how many it is, and I'm sure he'll tell us in a minute how many it is. But those obviously were products he created, or each and every WSO that he's launched this year. Then also, quite a few of his WSOs have been on product creation, and they've sold quite well. So I think it's fair to say that Trevor is a product creation expert. And of course, he's got his own take on things. And although the first part of the call was outlining what I think is the most simple way of creating products, the fastest way to get going and the fastest way to create high quality products, and also the best way of getting practiced at product creation, Trevor might have some insights that teach in a slightly different way, and that's really the value of having him here. So Trevor, welcome to the call.
Thanks, Richard.
Great to have you here.
Yeah, I just had a quick look at the stats while you were doing that, because I was thinking, I haven't got a clue how many products I've launched.
Okay.
It's 42, apparently.
Oh, great. Well done.
Including upsells and things like that. So.
Yeah.
And that's in, well, 6 months.
Yeah. Great. So I was right, what I said.
What it means is that they're not as difficult as you first thought of.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
If anyone's worried about that. And your method of audios is good. Audio gets over the problem of a lot of people have that they don't really... A lot of people don't like the sound of their own voice, but they hate being shown on film even more.
Yes.
So audio works that way. One thing I'd do, especially for beginners, is... And you were suggesting record for an hour, and most people, I think, find that daunting.
Yeah.
It's much easier to, you were suggesting split the thing up into 10 headings and then 10 subheadings, give or take, whatever seems like. And if you just talk, say you've got the 10 subheadings, you just talk for 2 or 3 minutes on each of those. First off, it doesn't need as much editing, because you're not as likely to stumble in a few minutes as you are in an hour. So you haven't got as many ums, oopsies and bothers, whatever else in the middle.
Very good. Thank you for that.
That's okay. And it's also actually easier for someone listening to it as well, because they can actually home in rather than having to fast forward through bits, which is not particularly... It used to be easy on cassette recorders and videos to an extent, and DVDs, but it's nowhere near as easy on a computer. So again, if the first one is definitely that subject, you can home in, and it makes it actually better for your users as well.
Okay, thanks. Some great tips there. That's excellent. Thank you.
The one I tend to focus on rather than audio is video, which again, most people have visions of television or Hollywood studios, and it's nothing like that.
No.
You can use the camera on your phone. I've seen people do that, and the results from an iPhone are HD quality. They're top quality, as long as you've got a steady hand or a tripod.
Interesting. I actually bought a Logitech webcam the other day, because I was doing that interview with Mike from Maine.
Right. Yep.
So basically, I knew I've got a webcam that goes on top of the screen somewhere in the house, but I thought, well, if I can't find it, I'm stuck. So I bought one for about £12.50, which is about $20, just under $20, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's got a mic built in, and it's absolutely superb. And I stuck it on top of the screen. And within a few minutes, I was on Skype, and of course it said, do you want to take a shot? So I said, click, and now I've got a new picture of me on Skype, because it took a picture of me.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, and it worked.
Actually, it looks like you.
Yeah, thank you. Because, of course, my other one is a bit older, and hasn't got my glasses on, so this has got my glasses on. But the point is that, a bit of money outlay, and that's a very important piece of equipment, and suddenly I could go from audio to video very easily, couldn't I?
Yeah,
because
very easily.
I can use that.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of products where people literally are just sat in their room with the webcam, or there's software out there, I've not used it myself, that will actually put you as an inset.
Oh, yes.
So you can do the kind of the screen capture things that I tend to do. But with your picture of you down the bottom right-hand corner, usually.
Yeah, yeah.
So different ways of doing it, but the ones I focus on for video are actually screen capture videos, which are basically use one of several different programs to capture what you're doing on screen and record it.
Yeah, and of course it is quite expensive. That Camtasia is the market leader, isn't it? And what's it now? Is it $200 or $300?
Something stupid.
But I've bought two copies. I bought version 6 and version 7 from either eBay or Amazon, and they both work fine. So.
Yeah, or if you're even cheaper, there's a program called Screencast-O-Matic.
Okay.
That's $15 for a year.
Right, okay.
Well, in fact, it's free if you're happy to do, I think it's either 10 or 15 minutes worth of recording with what they call a watermark, which just says Screencast-O-Matic down the left-hand corner.
Oh, yeah.
And if you go above that, then you can spend, it's $15 for a year or $30, I think it is, for 3 years.
Which is nothing.
Basically, yeah. It's a lot better than, because there's something called Cam Studio, which was the original thing that Camtasia was actually based on many, many moons ago, but it's a Neanderthal program. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone.
I know. I lost my Camtasia. I forget why now, but I think it may be the computer was down or something, and I use Cam Studio, and it's very, very memory hungry, and the quality's really bad.
Yeah,
so it's more of a practice thing. You know, if you want to practice,
I wouldn't even use it for practice. If you're going to do practice, get the free version of Screencast-O-Matic and limit yourself to 15-minute videos.
Okay, very good, thank you.
Or 10 or whatever it is, but either way, and again, it's good for the user, because the problem with video is the file size.
Yes.
And you're talking, if people are on a slow broadband connection, or like a friend of mine is actually still on dial-up, believe it or not. He's just had notice to quit, so they're giving up dial-up in September. He's panicking. But there are still parts of the world where broadband connection isn't fast, and video can be very memory hungry. So that's the only negative I find with it. The plus is that instead of describing what you're doing, you can actually say, this is what I'm doing, and people can look at the screen.
And you can give links, can't you? Which you can't do in audio. It's very hard to give a link in audio.
Put it on the page below the audio. That's what I do with videos.
Yeah, indeed.
That works quite well. Or in the accompanying PDF, you can always do a crib sheet PDF. That works. I don't like PDFs as a main product because I find they take way too long to create.
Yeah.
Typing is, I'm looking about a page in 20, 30 minutes, so a 30-page ebook would take me 15 hours. A video doesn't take anything like that length of time and is perceived as higher value in the same way as a DVD is more expensive than a paperback.
Exactly. Thank you for spelling that out. I mean, I should have made more of that earlier, so that's really good of you to say that. Just one thing. I just typed in Screencast-O-Matic.
Yep.
It looks like it's screencast-o-matic.com.
Yeah, it is. But if you type it in without that, Google works it out.
Yeah.
You can be lazy, in other words.
Indeed.
Yeah, it is. I never remember exactly what it is, but Screencast-O-Matic is... It's a good program. It's a little bit... The audio, you can't edit the volume as easily as you can on Camtasia, but that's just a matter of adjusting your microphone volume.
Okay.
Audacity for a free program is stupidly high-end.
Really? Yeah.
I've seen paid for audio programs that are more expensive, but Screencast-O-Matic does what you need it to do. You can actually draw on the screen as well. You can draw boxes and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
So if you wanted to highlight stuff or use it almost as a whiteboard, you can do that. But basically, the other thing it'll do is actually record what they call Windows system sound. So basically, if you were playing something in the background, you can actually get it to record that.
All right, okay.
So you could probably, you were talking about a Skype call on video, I've not tried it, but you could probably use it to record Skype calls and tell it to record the other person's audio.
I see, yeah. That's clever.
But a lot of that's just play around and see what happens.
Yeah.
Which is the beauty of computer programs nowadays. Most of them are intuitive enough to do that.
Okay, very good.
Coming back to your research thing, we're skipping around a bit, but it's...
That's okay.
Amazon, I find, is a fantastic place to research.
Oh, yeah.
While you were talking about traffic generation, there's oodles of books on Amazon on traffic generation. And if you go into the look inside...
Yeah.
You've got the chapter headings, usually.
Ah, yes.
Guess where you can find the topics.
Indeed. Well, handed you on a plate.
Yeah, basically, because someone else has done the research. If you go into 2, 3, 4 books, don't go into hundreds, because you could have created the product by that stage. But if you go into 2 or 3 books and see what the common threads are, then basically you can work out what other people think is important and therefore what probably should be in your product.
So the best thing to do then perhaps is get a bit of paper out and a pen, go to 3 that look likely and list the headings and see which ones sort of cross over and make those the main ones.
Paper and pen or spreadsheet?
Yeah.
I actually find for an outline a spreadsheet is easier than Word.
Okay.
It sounds kind of weird using something that's used for calculations, but with a spreadsheet you can move the lines around a lot easier than you can in a word processor.
Indeed.
Even easier, you just put another column in and just type your priority number in and then just sort it.
Okay.
So you're not forever cutting and pasting, whereas with a word processor you end up, or I personally end up, just it gets messy fast.
Yeah. Okay.
Most of my outlines I tend to do on a spreadsheet.
I see, yeah. Okay.
And then if I get another idea comes up partway through, just move the line down and put it in.
Yeah, excellent.
What I'll tend to do is actually highlight them a different colour once I've done them, so I don't end up doing the same one twice because I've done it over a 2 or 3 day period.
And of course, life
gets in the way, you forget what you've done.
Absolutely, yeah, so save it and put it into the right folder.
Yeah, but again, with a word processor, with a spreadsheet, you just highlight the cell. I just change it to a yellow background because it's the default. It's a common thread coming out here on laziness, isn't there?
Indeed.
But the plus on being lazy is that you'll do it because it's there. It's just click a button. Whereas if you try and complicate matters, and that's the other thread I'd say on product creation, don't sweat it. Don't think you're going to be perfect.
No.
If motor cars were perfect, we'd all be driving around in Model T Fords still.
Exactly. Yeah.
Planes would still be whatever the Wright brothers did their first flight on. So, don't worry about being perfect. The idea is that you actually get a product out there. You can always do version 2. If you look at any paperback, you've got one sat on my desk here, and it's new, fully revised and updated 3rd edition. And that's a printed paperback. It's not just products that we create that everyone revises.
No, it's very common in internet marketing, isn't it? Version 2, version 3 and whatever.
And even more common in software.
Yeah, of course.
Where Firefox is on version whatever it is nowadays. 21.
Is it really? Yeah.
Talking
of software, of course, people can get OpenOffice Calc for a spreadsheet, a free...
I use LibreOffice rather than OpenOffice. It's a slight variant, but it's the same kind of thing.
Okay.
Mainly because I found it doesn't crash quite as often as OpenOffice.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, both of those they'll read and write the latest DocX, XLX files.
Oh, yeah.
Again, if you're doing a screencast, they do a PowerPoint equivalent.
Okay.
So if you were doing a talk like we're doing at the moment, you'd actually have your 10 points and you'd do a different slide for each. Or again, if you've been lazy like I do, you just do it in Word. And I'll pause the video partway through and add the next line.
Oh, yeah.
Which I find a lot easier than trying to do a posh, flashy PowerPoint slide type thing.
Indeed. And, of course, saving time, which is important.
Yeah, because the thing about saving, it sounds like you're cheating, but you're not, because what you're actually doing is giving yourself permission to do it.
Yeah.
it can often make the difference between actually doing it and thinking, I'll do it next week.
Indeed, indeed.
We both know, and I think everyone listening to the call probably knows, that next week is always next week.
That's right, yeah. And therefore, it's not going to get done. And the most important thing is taking action.
Yeah, the other thing with taking action is that, and comes into personal development a bit, but that is a thing called goal setting.
Yeah.
And one of the things it's really worth doing, I think, is actually going public saying, I'm going to do this. It can be as simple as saying it out loud, because your voice thinks other people, your head thinks other people have heard it anyway. But ideally, tell friends who will quietly ask you, friends that you trust, friends that won't just say, no, you're not, that'll never work. You don't want ones like that.
Yes.
But you want ones that will support you and will say, well, how's it going on then? How is it released yet? Have you created your product yet? Have you done your sales page?
Like, you emailed me and said, have you not launched your WSO yet?
Well, yeah, and vice versa. I've just had someone that interviewed me about a month or two ago, and she said, you were going to release a product on outside the internet marketing world. Have you done it yet? And the answer was no.
Because embarrassment.
No, it's just life got in the way and priorities have changed. There's only so many directions you can run at once.
Indeed. So you told her that, did you?
I just said life got in the way, and she said, yeah, I know what you mean. Everyone does, but the snag with that, obviously, is you allow that to always get in the way, whereas I've done other things, just not in the direction I was thinking of when I was being interviewed a month or so ago.
Yeah, yeah.
That particular project's on the back burner. It okay. might happen this year, it might not, but I'm not glued to it.
No, no. But that's the thing with this, isn't it? We want people to be glued to it.
Yes and no, and again, you didn't do it, but you've launched a couple of products where you actually, they're not created when you sold them.
No, that's true, yeah, that's true.
If people aren't sure what that is, we'll quickly explain between us.
Yeah, definitely. This live class, for example, is the prime example, because a live class, obviously, doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's a big exists when it's live. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, so I planned out what I was going to teach. So I planned it out for 7 weeks. That could change, but that's what's planned. And so I wrote the sales page according to that what I saw the need was, and according to what I was planning. And I sold it before I'd even got anything.
Yeah, so literally it can be as much as... if you're going to do this kind of product... And you pay instant teleseminar, don't you?
I do, yeah.
But if you wanted to do it on the cheap, you could use something like Google Hangouts or even Skype. Because Skype allows conference calls, I think it's up to 25 people.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can record Skype with Audacity.
Right. Did you know that? Recorder.
No, you don't need to slash out for something like Pamela or one of the other Skype recorders. You can just type into Google how to record Skype calls with Audacity, and it will come up and you'll get full instructions.
Oh, yeah.
There'll be videos on YouTube which will show you step-by-step how to do it.
Right. Yeah, indeed.
So you could do... The negative with Skype is that with the seminar program you use, you can mute people out.
Yes, that's right.
Whereas with Skype, you can't.
Ah.
But if you mute them out, they actually get thrown off the call.
Okay.
Which isn't good. And also, you have to invite people into the call. They can't just dial in and join it. So it's not an ideal solution.
But it's a way of getting going.
Yeah, you could do 3, 4, 5 people. I've been on Skype calls before now with 4 or 5 of us, and they work a treat.
Excellent.
Did a mastermind group with a load of people, and it you just all call each other if they haven't called you.
Yeah.
So that does work, but beyond about 5 or 6, it would be quite daunting.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
I've not tried Skype on video for that quantity. I've been interviewed by Mike from Maine, same as you have, and again, that's a product.
Yeah, yeah.
He uses it to drive traffic to his website to sell affiliate products, basically, and you were talking about affiliate products right at the start of your thing.
Yeah.
That can be a good way to test the water if you're not sure whether a market's actually spending money. Then in the half hour it takes to put up a page that talks about that product, you've got the option to do it.
That's right, yeah, yeah. I think probably the best way to do that would be to find something, you know, maybe a PLR or something, and then repackage it as a free offer, and then get them on a list, and then do the products in the email sequence. I would think, thinking out loud, I think that's probably the best approach, rather than generating a lot of traffic, because you were talking about quite a bit of commitment to get the traffic you need.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of PLR, but
I know, but there is good PLR, and the thing is...
There is, but by the time we've found it, you've actually spent more than you could create it yourself.
True, yeah, that is true, yeah, that is true.
Because it's your name on the block, and if you promote a... If you buy a PLR product for, I don't know, $20 on Master Resale Rights or somewhere, the chance of you going through the 5 hours of videos you've just bought is low.
Yes.
But that's what you're actually trying to sell people, and then you're saying, well, this is brilliant. It's not in my voice, and I didn't record it, and it's not quite how I'd teach it, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's not quite how you put it on the sales page.
Well, this is, again, a whole reason for creating your own products, isn't it? Because those things you've just mentioned, you know, you get the connection with people. You get the everything sort of matches. Your emails, your sales pages, your products, everything matches. And you know, your squeeze page and your free offer, it all matches, and that's really important, isn't it?
Yeah, and for the squeeze page, one school of thought is you actually go straight from the sign up to the video or whatever else it is, the PDF, whatever your giveaway product is, because otherwise people have got to break away from your page, go to their email program, and hopefully come back to your page.
I suppose it really depends on what you're trying to do, doesn't it?
Yeah, most of the email campaigns I do, I do single opt-in, I don't do double opt-in, so I can get away with taking them from immediately signing up to going to whatever squeeze page it is, the giveaway was.
I'm exactly the same. I've never had a problem with it. I'm not quite sure why people use double opt-in, actually.
It's all to do with CAN spam, and it's the default on programs like AWeber, because they get fractionally less complaints. In reality, I don't think it makes any difference to complaints.
No.
Because people forget that they've signed up. I know it's hard to believe that they could ever forget you, but they do.
But they do, yeah.
Within about anything from a week to 6 months.
Okay.
Anywhere in that time frame. You'll get emails back saying whatever. But yeah, if you can take this, if you're doing a squeeze page, for instance, whatever you're offering, take them directly to it. Don't put anything in the way.
Okay. While we're talking about squeeze page or a free offer, because obviously, as you know, there are other ways of getting, for instance, a membership site, and actually I've got an example of that to give to people in a minute. But I'm just going to ask you about a free product. What's your take on it?
Test.
That's
the glib answer. I tend to do it because that's what everyone else does. Whether that's correct, I have no idea at all.
But for example, would you...
Because I haven't tested, I haven't done what I've just suggested.
Would you tend to have a signature product as a free offer? I mean, obviously not a high-end. I mean, something that's worth perhaps about $97, I think, makes a good free offer.
Yeah, I've not gone that high. I've done PDFs, I've done audios, I've done videos. What I've not tested yet, but it's kind of on the radar, is to do a video series as the free offer, so that over the next 4 or 5 days they'll get a new video.
Oh, yeah.
Partly because, again, video is perceived as high-end, partly because it's actually very easy to do.
And you keep the connection, you keep people opening emails, which is a benefit of doing that. Yeah, yeah.
But there's no single... There's no single correct answer for anything, but on this one it's definitely not.
No.
Because there's a school of thought that you should actually give away the biggest secrets in your industry.
Indeed.
On the basis that people tend to assume that if you're giving that much away for free, then the PayPal stuff must be absolutely superb.
And also there's a second aspect of it, and that is that when you put things into a free offer, people don't tend to act on it. because they
don't always act unpaid either.
I know, but they're more likely to, aren't they?
The stuff on the shelf here is still in shrink wrap.
You see my library, oh dear, it's shocking.
Yeah, well, again, it's the book that arrived from Amazon that seemed a good idea 2 days ago.
Well, a friend of mine was here on Sunday, and he went to look at my library, and he went in, and he said, that's a very good book. It's still in shrink wrap.
Yeah, that's... Well, Dan Kennedy, I think, has sort of said, you know, he's got suits that he's bought through mail order that's still in the shrink wrap.
I hope it's the same size.
Yeah, probably, and often the same offer he's bought more than once because the sales copy had changed.
Oh, right. And so he thought, yeah, and I'm sure that's happened to me. Yeah.
Well, he repackages anyway. That's actually the next thing on product creation is repackage.
Yeah.
You can bundle several products together, or you can take bits away. You can, again, if you buy a book, there's almost always a foreword.
Yeah.
And there's no harm in getting someone to do that if they're prepared to, and people will do it. Some people do it paid, the ones that you see everywhere in self-help.
There's actually an example of that in books, and that is, I think it's Tony Bazan. I hope I'm not misrepresenting him, so I'll say allegedly, but it does look to me like this is what he's done. He's basically got this speed reading technique.
Yep.
For getting information, but it has lots of applications. So what he does is he repackages basically the same material with a different application. So the cover is different and the title is different. But when you read inside, it does look pretty much the same.
Yeah, Dan Kennedy openly done it. He's got one book. He said, if you bought this under that version, well, sorry. And then there's other ones which are just compilations, which the best known one probably is Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Oh, yes.
Where that's just a compilation of lots of stories.
Right, okay.
Another way of doing a product. And again, well, Mike from Maine could do a product, which is his interviews. He just uses them as content for his website, but someone else I've been interviewed for is likely to be... She's done four or five or six interviews, and they're likely to be packaged.
By the way, that's a great way for people to get going, is to interview an expert. In fact, I think we ought to say that people should at some point interview an expert in their niche. So as well as create your own product, go and interview at least one expert in your niche. You know, perhaps the thing that you know you want to teach, but you're got a little bit of, you're fearing that particular aspect, then get an interview with an expert on that particular aspect.
Yeah, and most of them are happy to talk.
Exactly.
Some of them will talk forever.
Yeah, that's right.
Again, the lady I got interviewed with, Doris, I think is the way she pronounces herself, Doris. But she interviewed another person I know, Chris Payne, and 3 hours later it finished.
Really? Wow, amazing. Amazing.
I'm not surprised. I had a 3-hour just private chat with Chris just because we had a catch-up.
Oh, yeah.
He talks. And, well, to be honest, if people are producing products, that's what they do for a living. They get paid to talk.
Oh, yeah.
Sean Myers pretty much give him a topic. An hour later, he's finished on that one.
Yeah, that's right.
Dan Kennedy will be the same. Anyone that stands up on stage and talks, okay, they've got a script or they've got notes or whatever else, but they've done it before and the chances are they can just talk about, they know their subject. Oh, and this interview we're holding here, I don't know if your one was written down with notes or whatever, this one isn't.
No, there was some notes. I did.
You
I
had your two or three headings.
I had a skeleton, yeah. I worked. I mean, it's about a page actually, because of course I've got the headings for the traffic generation, which has taken up half the page. So yeah.
But again, that's as long as you know your topic, that actually is all you need for an hour's worth of product.
Yeah, exactly.
A sheet doesn't have to be sort of 6-point or anything like that. It can be quite nicely spaced and quite nice readable type.
Well, that was a page for half an hour, wasn't it? So I mean, it didn't take me long to make the notes.
Yeah.
Certainly a lot longer than a lot less time than typing it out.
Yeah, typing out takes forever.
Absolutely.
But you can get around if you the big, big if on this one, but if you're capable of speaking the way you'd write, then you can either use one of the transcribe programs, like the one that's built into Windows, or Dragon Naturally Speaking, or pay someone on Fiverr to transcribe it. But the problem with that is that we tend to use different grammar and sentence structures when we speak.
So it's a bit incongruent.
I think the best summation, I subscribe to a thing called Kickstart Newsletter, a guy called Martin Avis.
Oh, yes.
And he's just had surgery for carpal tunnel, so he had to use Dragon Naturally Speaking. It said it was painful. It took him forever to write the 1,000 words, and then it read wrong.
Oh, dear.
And he said that's why it's been delayed a week. He's waiting to be able to be allowed to type a bit.
Ah, yeah.
So that's the biggest caveat with using any of the voice to text programs. So again, if you're not sure, Windows has it built in.
Right.
And Macs would have had since Macs were first thought of. But Windows, any version from XP onwards, has got a voice recorder built in.
Okay, that sounds like it's part of Unix. As Mac is based on Unix, isn't it?
XP was based on Windows NT, so not quite Unix.
Is that right?
Windows has still got DOS below it.
Oh, right. My information must be wrong then. Never mind. That's just an aside.
I'm too techie on that. Sorry.
You should make sweeping generalizations to a geek.
But either way, Macs would have had it because Macs have always been creative, and Windows, since at least XP, you just type in voice recorder in control panel, it will say, oh, yeah, we've found that somewhere. Do you want to install it? Please.
Yeah. Okay.
That will then, I think it's either voice recorder or speech recorder, something like that, but it will record your voice and type it. And you can train it same as you can Dragon, and to an extent, it'll do it, but personally, I don't use it. I find that actually slows me down. I can type faster than I can do voice to text.
Right, okay.
Personally, I just find I'm trying to edit all the time. But if you wanted to do a PDF, it's one way of doing it.
Yeah, okay.
The other way, definitely, we just record it on Audacity and put it on Fiverr. There's people that will transcribe 15 minutes of audio for $5.
Right, interesting. Yeah,
they're quite
sorry,
good.
Go on.
The one I did probably 6 months ago, she was based in Australia, so first world, and she didn't get local town siren sester, but pretty much everything else she managed. She just don't understand that bit.
Sure.
It all highlighted just a bit she didn't understand in yellow again.
Yeah.
So different ways of doing it. You don't have to type. You don't have to do anything. Well, you do have to do something, but you don't. No. There's no specific way, and if you're geeky, you do software.
Well, that's very good. It's a bit of a pep there. You know, this is the whole thing. Is there isn't really no excuse to become a product creator, is there?
No, there's so many. If you just go into the Warrior Special Office forum or ClickBank, and you'll find so many different formats of product. Ideal is something where you get paid regularly.
Yeah.
Adobe are just getting flack on that because they're just changing their paid for programs to effectively rented. But that's the ideal. You want to be in somewhere like on your web hosting, you pay monthly. Your phone, you pay monthly. If you've got pay TV subscription like Sky or whatever is elsewhere in the world, that's monthly. If you can create a product that you can legitimately be on the receiving end of that, that's my next aim.
A monthly membership,
yes, because
yeah,
you sell once and then get paid. You have to deliver content, obviously.
Okay.
But if you're offering something like software, you've got the excuse, well, it's always got to be updated.
Yeah.
If you're offering training like you're doing it, you've got the excuse, well, there's always new stuff coming out.
Yeah.
So that's another way of getting a more regular income.
Excellent.
Otherwise,
yeah.
If you do a product launch, you're reliant on either other people promoting it or yourself promoting it, and then it peaks and troughs. I was just chatting to you before the call, wasn't I, where I was saying my next launch will be at the start of the month because people have just been paid. Because I noticed with my affiliate sales that they drop mid-month when people have got less money.
Interesting, yeah, that's very interesting, that is. So a tip there for anyone who wants to launch a WSO, or
do it
perhaps
just
even
towards the end of the month, yeah, or just at the start of the month rather than middle.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Trevor. That's very helpful.
Richard,
what you covered there, and I just wanted to pick up one thing you were just talking about at the end, and that's about membership sites, because of course that's actually quite a good way of offering a free offering. I've used this example before, but obviously we've got a lot more new people on here this evening particularly, and that is Michael Rasmussen. I'll actually put some links in the email with the recording, but Michael has got three products which are high perceived value, but he offers for free. Now obviously he's got an upsell when you first log in, but the first one he did was Email Promos Exposed, which teaches how to write emails, and nobody's ever really surpassed that product, interestingly. You know, you'd think somebody would try and sort of do a $97 product which blew it out of the water, but nobody has, because probably they can't, and he's offering, you know, that for free. Very, very good product. I've actually got it on traffic.com, so that's traffic with an O, TORAFFIC.com. Recommends email-promos-exposed. So, I'll put that link in the email for people if they want to go and have a look at that. Just to show you an example of a great membership site which is offering a free set of videos, and the idea is you actually become a member of the site, and then you log in to look at the videos. You have to look at them on the site. You can't download them. A great way of getting people. Now, of course, there's a lot of work involved in that, so we don't want people to be looking at creating that kind of site now. But what you could do, if you wanted to do something like that, which these days might perform better than a squeeze page, is you would test and track your products and find a product area where there was a high perceived value, but then people, you know, you think, well, I can make a free product there that people are going to see as high value, and then you know that because you sold it for $97, you know that it will sell for $97. In fact, you could even say that in your sales copy on your membership site, and then you get it created for you and do it that way. But that's a long term thing, but I'm just mentioning it now because it's a great example of how to present a free offering, very high quality, teaches, gets good results, loads and loads and loads and loads of people have promoted it. He's done very, very well with that site. So go and have a look at that as an example of a free product offering. Thank you. Trevor, you've got anything you'd like to add?
Oh, I think we've covered most things.
Okay, very good.
The main thing is do it. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't, probably won't be perfect, but that doesn't matter. In fact, perfectionism is a big enemy. It's almost
indeed
as big as procrastination.
I mean, indeed, we both know Sean Mize, very, very high-profile marketer, but still works from home. You know, it's just a home business he's got in, you know, six figures easily. And his products, you know, I mean, people have complained to me that they've got, you know, sounds like somebody's speaking in the bath. That's the actual word somebody used. Because he might have a live call like this, and there's people who are unmuted, quite a number of them, a lot of background noise, that kind of thing. But that's not important, you know. So you'd say, oh, that's low quality in terms of the actual product itself. The presentation is low quality, but the thing is, it gets results, and that is what counts. You know, so you want to think about that when you're creating a product. You know, it's not you're not looking to create the perfect product. You're looking to create a product that will get results. And you can easily produce a product that will get results, but you can't produce the perfect product. That's impossible.
A good analogy there, actually, just thought of it, would be something like a treasure map. Because I'm sure that the average pirate didn't go through and make sure everything was to scale and laminated and whatever, they just wrote it.
Yeah.
And that would still be quite valuable.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah, yeah. Very interesting. Great, well, thanks for being with us, Trevor. Thanks for your wisdom and insights and everything you've been teaching us. And I hope that's been useful to people. So what we'll do now, we'll just stop recording and open up the call for people to ask questions live. Just bear with me a minute, please.